you know, several places. And every student got a chance. We went to my house, and they all came, and they got a chance to share. Every one of them said, I don't know if I can afford this, but God provided every single time. And like, how can I afford $2,000? God provided it. And they're like, that was our first hang up. But I know that when we trust in Jesus, that if he's calling us to go, he's going to provide the.
Our children are leaving the faith in droves.
As a result.
Oh, I got to
pause here. We're going live right now.
How can we raise our kids to stand firm, have a faith that lasts, and navigate such a time as this?
Our nation's capital has just been.
To turn a nation, you have to take the next generation.
Today in the news, COVID-19.
I'm Jake McCandless, and this is my podcast, Stand Firm Parents. We're working together to help our children have a faith that lasts.
And now, here's Jake McCandless.
So raise your hands if you're spontaneous. Anybody? So summer is ending, school is starting, and many of our kids, our students, regardless of their age, were at a camp this summer. Maybe a mission trip, a conference, some type of an event, a Bible school, whatever that is. And throughout, I know my life growing up in church, in youth group, I was on fire. I'd went to that spiritual mountain. Maybe that's where our kids are. So how, as parents, do we keep that going? How do we help stoke the fire? I think it's a conversation that needs to be had. I don't know if I've heard it. So I had this thought the first of the week, reached out to my good friend, Dr. Jonathan Cofer, youth pastor at Antioch Baptist Church in Conway, Arkansas, the Antioch Student Ministry. And I said, man, I know you've had a busy summer. Let's talk about it. And can we talk about just some ways as parents we can help stoke that fire our students had over the summer? But I'm sure it also bleeds into the rest of the year. I think this is an important conversation. Please lean in and take these steps. And probably at the time you're hearing this, we need to take these steps pretty soon. So you're jumping into the raw conversation, just us really brainstorming it together. So excited to have Jonathan with us. Jonathan, thank you for stopping in and having what I believe is a very important conversation.
Well, thank you, Jake. Man, I'm excited too. It's going to be raw, but it's going to be a great conversation. I'm very much looking forward to it.
I think raw is good. And so if you have some raw ideas or maybe more tested ideas, drop them in the comments wherever you're listening, watching this. I think really I've not had this conversation. I've had this conversation like on a student ministry level, church level, but not as a parent level. So it's mid-August. I imagine there are some students ready to, well, they're going back to school, whether they're ready or not, who've had big summers, maybe even big spiritual times, whether camp, conference, mission trip. They've been on a spiritual high, which is awesome. So how can we stoke that fire as parents? But Jonathan, I want to just start with, man, I know you've had a busy summer. Where you been this summer?
We feel like I've been all over the place, but we started our summer off with a mission trip, went to St. Louis, and nice. Had an amazing time there, helped one of our BMA church plants over there, and with Pastor Juan Fernandez. And then we had VBS, a lot of our students worked that. We had SOAR, which was a big thing for our student ministry, and then I actually went and spoke at a youth camp out at Daniel Springs, and so now we're kind of getting in motion for the fall. So it's just been plenty of things this summer.
Okay, so you personally have had the mission trip experience, the conference experience, the camp experience, Bible school, kids involved. Okay, we're talking to the expert that's done it all this summer.
Something like that.
I know in youth ministry, these times are some of the biggest things of the year, and you're really building off that throughout the year. So I know they're big, but just in terms of a student's spiritual walk, how big is these events for them?
Yeah, it gives us an opportunity to get away from the norm, you know, get away from the cell phones, just the constant interaction with screens and all those sorts of things. And we just get to focus on Jesus. And so those opportunities we get to spend just focusing on the Word, singing praises to Jesus. We get to study with other believers. And that's a huge thing, being able to pray and just be with other teenagers that is their age, that's big. So building relationships is huge in the summertime, helping students stay connected to their faith during the summertime instead of just being lazy and watching TV on the couch or whatever. Getting them away just to focus on Jesus is just a big deal.
Man, so again, this is raw, so this wasn't in just the talking points I sent you ahead of time. So we're already, right off the bat, I'm going off script here, spontaneous script. But you're seeing these students every week. Does this concentrated time at a camp or mission trip, do you get more out of that with the students, it seems?
Absolutely. It feels like during the school year, it's just boom, 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 and you don't really get that opportunity just to hang out and to have deeper conversations. But man, whenever we do in the summertime, especially mission trip, like that's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Because you really get that time working one-on-one or just casual time talking with students, you know? And so that's a huge thing during the summer.
Yeah. And you mentioned as far as relationship building, you're getting that time with them. So I was thinking probably this question, I'm thinking more camps and conferences, but I guess you probably see this as mission trips as well, in that they've made some commitments. They've made some decisions. Mm. What are some commitments, decisions maybe you've seen this year or in the past?
Absolutely. Man, there's several students who accepted Jesus this summer. There's students that did want to rededicate their life to the Lord. It's like, you know, I believe in Jesus, but there's some things, and I need to just give that to the Lord. Even a call to ministry, you know, and just feeling led to be in ministry. Or maybe they've been saved, but now it's like, hey, let's take a step forward and make an action and be baptized. And so, yeah, those sorts of things. The fire for God is always amazing. And so that's always interesting to see what happens when you get back from camp and trying to help them with that. So,
yeah, so a couple years ago, we actually had the chance to take our kids to Israel for a family trip. And we went to the Jordan River, and, you know, everybody, you know, wants to be baptized in the Jordan River and those things. And so we had this conversation with both our children. We're like, hey, you know, we're going, you guys both have made, you know, your baptisms are legit. You don't have to if you want. And then both of them had different reasons they wanted to. Mm. And we opened this conversation. So I was really kind of like, I don't know what to do. And someone talked to me about, it's like, you know, we're saying, once you're saved, man, that's that one-time decision. But really, like in every stage of your life, it's almost like you've got to accept that faith or, you know, make that decision that, hey, I'm still in it. I'm still doing this. I don't know. That really spoke to me. So I think of, like, you know, I know you probably got students who have made a profession of faith maybe as a child or younger, and then they have these rededication times. I think it's a more important deal sometimes than we make it.
But it is so cool to see and watch them kind of grow and get it.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, you know, be able to do that.
So if you're watching, listening, whether it's right now this summer or maybe it's going to be next summer or maybe it's already been in the past, you've had children, teens that you have sent off to camp, mission trips, whatever that is, maybe they've made some of these decisions or maybe they just had a good time and got moved. Just in general, what would be some tips to help families keep that fire going once they get back?
Just keeping it simple, the first thing I would say is make Jesus a conversation in your home. And and just one time a day, shoot for that if you're not doing it already, but make Jesus a conversation in your home. And man, here in a perfect world, this is what we could shoot for as youth pastors or pastors, people who take people to camp and those sorts of things is what if you were to even provide some questions and take notes during the camp and stuff and give parents some talking points. And so I'm not saying that I'm great at doing that always, but that is, it's one thing you can do to help parents be able to do that.
I apologize. If you've done that once, I would say you're in the top 1% of those who are doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my daughter went to, like, you know, I've had the privilege of being at everything they've been at, you know, being in ministry. Well, my daughter went to a camp without me and my wife this year. And man, like, we can't have a conversation if we don't know really what was there.
Well, and the heart of that was actually this year. I was speaking at a retreat in Colorado, And the youth pastor there said, hey, can you come up with some videos per talking point or per sermon and just give parents some questions they can talk about to their students? Cool. And so he helped me do that. I gave him my sermons and helped me do that. But I'm like, man, that might be something I need to work in.
Woo. Man, if you're a youth pastor listening, I think that's an incredible idea. I think you may have posted something along these lines because that was kind of what got this wheel turning a long time ago, like about this conversation. Okay, so I cut you off, but man, what are some more of these ideas?
So that's just a couple things. And then also, like, are you reading scripture with your kids and are you talking to them about maybe even what God's doing in your life? And so it could be simple. You could just ask them one question each morning and it's like, hey, man, what'd you get out of the word? Here's what I got out of the word. And if you could do that at least once a week, twice a week, you know, start small, but I just think that's huge.
It is. It absolutely is. We just actually, I was talking to my wife at the dinner table about our conversation today, and she's like, well, let's just ask the girls what would help them. And one thing we realized, hey, if you just ask a question, like it doesn't seem that hard.
You don't have to be much more than that, you know? But I think as you grow and as your kids grow, it could be, for sure.
Yeah. So we looked at just kind of maybe in general how to keep that fire going at the home, starting simple. Let's talk about some particular decisions that may have been made. Because I see, it seems like, even as parents, even we love Jesus, man, we're following after him, we've trusted him ourselves, but when our child is asking questions about salvation or has, you know, committed their life to Christ, man, what are some things that parents, like, maybe that's happened this summer, how can they walk with them? What's the next steps?
That's good. Number one, I want to encourage parents to know that you can have a conversation with your kids about salvation. I've seen so many times where you bring your teenager to the church. Hey, pastor, can you talk to him? Which is awesome, but you can too.
Yeah.
And just ask them about it. Like, well, what did you choose at camp? Ask them questions like that. Why did you choose Jesus? And maybe if you can kind of get on that same page of helping them realize their sin in their life, their need for Christ. And then once you've committed to Jesus, well, now mom and dad can have that intentional conversation. Well, let me help you be committed to Jesus. And let me show you how to read scripture and follow into actually discipling your kids. And it's like the perfect door to that. So if your child is saved, then okay, well, now that you're saved, well, you got to know God. Well, if you know God, well, here's how you do that. And here's God's word. And here's what I do.
Man, that brings up a great point. So it's almost like these can be some turning point moments.
Yes.
That, you know, conversations you always wished you had. It's like being ready for that. I think that's a good word for us parents is, man, you know, we may have things we want to say. Maybe it's not been a good moment or their child's not been ready. Maybe this is the moment they're ready for that conversation.
About 2-3 years ago now, I wrote some curriculum for parents that taught it at Antioch. And in that curriculum, I challenge parents just to ask your kid about Jesus or talk to him about Jesus once a day and pray with your kids. And then maybe even ask them, well, what's your story? Help your kids know how to share the testimony. And I had a parent do that. And one of his stories from that, he came back to the class and said, well, I asked my kid and I shared my testimony. And he's like, I don't have one. And he led his own kid to the Lord. You know, and so, like, we can do it, parents.
Yes.
We can. Absolutely.
Yes. And it doesn't have to be perfect. I think that it's a passage talks about, you know, having I'm going to butcher it here, but about, you know, being able to give a response, being able to give an answer. I think we've kind of made that to be like we can do apologetics, you know. We can prove God. You just tell them what happened with you. Mm-hmm. I think that's huge. I feel like the next step with salvation is to declare that with baptism.
Yes.
But that's definitely where I think we both are with that. It seems like it can be a challenge for, I don't know if this seems new to me in ministry over the last several years, is that it's a harder jump I see from making that decision to baptism than it's been in the past. Yep. So I imagine this is coming up more as a decision rather that hasn't been done maybe, or maybe as the next step.
Yeah. It's definitely, is that an action step, you know?
Yeah.
It's putting your faith into motion, and that faith is an action word, right? So, man, being able to challenge your kid to say, yeah, if you follow Jesus, then follow him. Be faithful and take a step and trust him. Maybe this is your actual first step because it's so fearful, but to trust him. My own daughter, I'll give her an example, my oldest, she accepted Jesus, and it took her 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And eventually she was able to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to do this. And she got baptized. But then my other daughter I baptized this year, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And she's just a totally different kid. She's like, yeah, let's do it. You know, didn't have to question it. I know the longer we put it off, it's going to be harder.
Yeah, absolutely. I know some events, I don't think probably because we're connected in a lot of the same circles. So I don't imagine you were at many events where their baptisms were happening right away. But there might be some parents that, hey, your child went to an event. They made a profession of faith. They had a baptism. And they're coming home and just telling you about it, which I don't like, to be honest. I started as in pastoring. If a child even asks me something, I call the parent. Even if I'm going to be the one having this conversation, man, let's get there. Let's do this together. Man, I know we didn't really think through that, but, man, what my parents do in that situation.
Yeah, I struggle with that. I really do, because I feel like baptism needs to be with your church family so they can help you and disciple you and to lift you up. And that is something I would want mom and dad to be at.
Yeah.
You know? That's something special. You call the Calvary, and man, it's like, hey, I'm getting baptized. It's a big deal. So yeah, that's where I stand with that.
I get it. I get the idea of immediate obedience and that. So I get the reasoning behind it, if that's your thing. But man, if you can involve in parents, even if you have a system, you're doing it there, man, throw it on Facebook, you know, get them there. But man, I would save that. We have made in our family with our kids, their baptism is the biggest blowout, like celebration of anything we've ever done, because we're like bringing up everybody we can in. We're going to party afterwards because it is such a big thing. And so parents, if you can, even if all this conversation happened and you're just coming in to support the decision, man, I think throwing that party, get a cake, do something, you know, that makes it special, I think, as well, back in the home.
Yeah. I think if it's a big deal to you parents, then your child's going to know it's a big deal too. And knowing that that you're in their corner, that's huge too.
And this is totally off script here, but again, you're getting the raw conversation. Mark the date. My baptism, I don't have a record of it. My mom was good at journaling stuff, so she probably does somewhere. But I know it was on Super Bowl Sunday night. So it's helped me remember. But man, this is a big deal. And not just the salvation, but not just the baptism, but you know, that moment they trusted Christ. Man, document that story, because this is a huge, huge deal. And I don't know if we necessarily track it. Like I think we believe it, but we don't necessarily track it
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we've talked, you know, salvation, we've talked baptism. Well, going back to baptism, so as a child or student, you're in your church, you've got somebody you can talk to maybe. Maybe you're not in a church. Maybe you don't have a church you're going to that your child made this decision, or maybe you made that decision. I want you to know, and pastors love baptizing. It's not going to be a difficult conversation if you go, right?
Right.
If you have a student come to you, are you going to like...
Oh, man, we're going to rejoice and we're going to have a party. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Absolutely. So don't hesitate with that. Okay, rededications. What's some advice for parents? And this may be something that they may or may not get to hear from their student as well.
Very true. And that might be something that this, I don't know where the student may land, but they might be more reserved about it, especially of why they're getting rededicated. But I think if a parent can have that conversation of like, well, why? Well, what was it? Help them understand that. And hopefully they've already got some counseling through all of that, you know, with their youth pastor or youth leaders. But help them understand that, man, if you are truly saved, you're saved. But now let's just get on track with Jesus.
Yeah.
And how can I pray for you? How can I be there for you to help you do that? Are some really good conversations to have. So just asking the questions.
Yeah. And I think also maybe as parents sharing about our stories of rededication.
Yeah.
But man, you bring up a good point. Like the reason why, a big part of that may be sin.
Right.
And so that may be a conversation they're not going to necessarily have with you as well. Okay, so we've hit salvation, we've hit baptism, we hit rededication. What about a student that's just more on fire?
Yeah, I know that's so hard too. Like you get home and here's the truth. Your kid just had an amazing emotional high. They experienced this thing and you didn't.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so hard to kind of translate that from them to you. And so the biggest thing is just, man, be a listening ear and try not to discourage them. You know, if they're on fire for the Lord, well, man, be excited for them and not discourage them in some way. And maybe even encourage them to get involved. Challenge them. Hey, if you're going to be on fire for the Lord, well, I'm going to challenge you. That means let's be committed to the church. Let's be committed to discipleship. Let's, you know, let's lead. Let's do something. Action, I guess.
And that something that I didn't put in my notes that you brought up is you had students who are helping with Bible school this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had those on mission trip that are out there, but like locally helping, man, that's probably, I think every time a student has that experience, they're ready to go to the next time. So it'd be important to plug that in.
Yes.
It's almost like if you have that opportunity, you need to have that next opportunity ready to go because they're going to love it.
Yeah, I would find ways, you know, encourage them to talk to their youth pastors, directors, whoever's kind of helping in the church with students. How can they serve there? But also, man, start looking at ways you can serve the church as a whole, because let's face it, teenagers are the church, and they can do so many things. So just encourage them to do it.
And I think when you look at this generation, I don't know if necessarily the students right now, but the ones who have just graduated, the research on them is they needed a cause to get involved in. And I'm sure that's kind of trickled down. That's very similar to that, is getting them involved. And so we have a different church culture I've talked about on here, I've talked about with you. But so when we host a Bible study at our house, my kids feel like if we're going to have a baked potato bar, they're like washing the potatoes at the house that they're serving. And just last night, we had a Bible study, and the host family, they let their older daughter, who had learned some kind of game at theater camp she'd went to that summer, took the group through this game. And it was cool that she got to take something from you when, you know, not a church event, imply it, which I thought was really cool to do that. Okay, you touched on this. This may be one of the easier things to say. What should parents not do?
Well, that's what I'm really good at.
That's where we can just unload the list, right?
You know, discouraging them for one, or just to seem uninterested, that's definitely something to think through. Man, I'm so excited. I want to do this, and this. Like, okay, but let's get real. You know, as a mom or dad, you're not going to do that, or something like that. But figuring out a way to uplift and encourage, I just think, you know, is a huge deal. So that's one thing what not to do.
Oh man, that would be terrible.
Yeah.
But I know what happens. And as you're saying, I was trying to picture that in my head. I think probably even well intentioned parents who want to get the doctrine right could do this easily. You know, hey, listen, man, doctrine is extremely important. We want to get scripture right. These two guys here, that's our passion, that's our heart. But man, let's let it be a problem in practice. Let's let it build to a problem and then deal with it rather than quenching it, that fire that they have, because, man, there's just nothing worse than to get, you know, water thrown at you from that.
Yeah. I think, too, you know, if it's like if they're coming home and they say they've been saved, ignoring that and not helping them through that moment is also something what not to do. Maybe we just don't feel like we're equipped enough, and so we just maybe push it to the side. But I think, well, if my kid made a decision, then just know that part of our job is doing something about it, having some conversations.
100%. And I think that's when we're having this conversation, because us as parents, we had this great conversation several episodes back where we talked about being disciple makers that we had with you. But even if we're not the chief disciple maker, we're a catalyst. We get to be a part of it. So like you said, we as parents, we can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do it. I think we make it so hard in our heads, but just we can simplify this down. Just start the easy conversation. Hey, you know, have you, what was your prayer time like? Well, I didn't have a prayer time. Well, that's fine. You know, let's talk about it and let's pray.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that you've really hit me with is seeing this as just a moment, as a turning point. So my daughter, the conversation we had about her camp that she had, she was interested in mission stuff. Mm. It's already been a month and a half, and I've not done anything, but other than the conversation came back up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've experienced this, or maybe you haven't. Maybe it was just me. But I would have a kid come talk to me. Maybe the parent brought him to talk to me. And then, you know, no decision was made at that time, and time went on. And it's sad to say, I've forgotten. Or maybe, but I've also seen parents drop the ball from that point as well.
That really brings something else to my mind too, Jake. Because a lot of times I've had, even this summer, several students say, you know what, I am called to go on mission. And sometimes that's scary as a mom or dad. Like, wait, you feel called to go somewhere and to be, you know, a missionary, or even just to go on a short term or like a VSM, volunteer student missions. I mean, my wife leads a trip every summer to Costa Rica and even talking about Zambia next summer. But this idea, I'm going to send my child to Zambia. Yeah. I don't know, you know, and so just seeking the Lord and maybe not answering right away, and just really also seek the Lord in that too, is a huge deal. Because if God's putting that on my child's heart, then I need to seek the Lord too and see what he's saying.
We have an episode way back before it was even video. So if you want to go way back in the archives of Stand Firm Parents, where we talk about the mindset of a parent with that, really the coolest things our kids can do is to be part of the Great Commission. Like, they're all going to do it. Like, they don't have to go on, you know, a mission trip and be a missionary to do that. But really, I think as parents, this is the ultimate thing that we can have them to do, which brings me to a thought. You mentioned some surrendering to ministry or committing to ministry. Me and you both had those moments in our lives. Mm-hmm. I was 16. It's ridiculous. I didn't even talk to my parents. I just made this like public commitment. And you know, my parents are like, you know, they were always extremely supportive beyond, but I don't know if we really just had a really talking through that moment, because it's a crazy deal.
Yeah.
But I also know parents shoot this down as well.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I've had students where, I feel called to ministry, and maybe the parent like, well, you're not going to make any money doing that. So
they're right.
So don't do it.
Yeah.
But I feel called. Well, and so, yeah, it's such a big deal. If we feel called, then let's encourage them, you know, even have them talk to a pastor about that sort of deal. And I'd even add this too. Here's another plug for camps or SOAR. When I was in ninth grade, I finished up ninth grade and went to camp. I felt called to the ministry. And I can go back to that moment knowing that it was through that ministry that I realized my calling. And I only feel stronger about it today, so many years later. So
if someone feels, if a student feels that kind of commitment, parents are equipped enough to walk through it, but they're going to need some help. If that's not their, you know, that's not your vocation, that's not what you're in, you're going to need some help. What would be advice?
Yeah, I mean, don't be scared to call your pastor. Kind of like the same thing with the baptism thing, same thing. Like, man, yeah, we want to hear and be able to talk to your student about what it means to be called to the ministry. We talk with the parent as well. But man, that's a fun conversation, and I don't want you to ignore that or think it's not important.
Oh, it's a huge deal. You know, I know just as a pastor who've walked through that with men just in my church, it can be it's a tough thing. But this is where I get on my soapbox at. What we're ultimately talking about is stepping into discipleship.
Yes.
It's you know, we make it this separate thing. I do believe God calls us to vocational ministry leadership. We're all called to be missionaries in our context and all of that. But what we're really talking about is, okay, let's get this, you know, we all should be disciples, man. That should be the hope. But I think in this situation, it's like, okay, let's really make sure there's a mentor, somebody pour into them.
That's it. If you feel called to ministry, now let's start following Jesus.
Yes.
Let's start serving, you know, because we're not above that. We got to start following Jesus faithfully.
And I want to throw out, bloom where you're at. That has some men I walked with. It was two kind of at the same time, both committed to, felt a call to ministry. One of them was just constantly preparing and like, one day I will do this. The other had plans to be on the mission field, and I really didn't know this. He passed away on the day he retired, like the day before he was going to retire and go to the mission field full time. But at his funeral, there was tons of people who had given their life to Christ because he bloomed where he was at.
Wow.
Before he had it figured out, before all that. And so, you know, I think that's another thing for like anybody going into ministry, you know, especially older. I know we're kind of off subject here, but man, you can happen now, you know.
Yes.
But what we're ultimately talking about is making sure we're stepping into a mentorship, discipleship with that as well. Okay. So we've talked about how to follow up with the summer stuff. I think it's just been a great raw conversation. Now, this is going to sound very counterintuitive, but I think you know where I'm coming from with it. But knowing how important parents are to the long-term stability of faith, how important is, say, a family vacation? But I'm not talking about like going off exotic, but just a concentrated family time. How important is that, and how should maybe even that be balanced up against a camp or a mission trip?
Yeah, I think you prepare for both. I really do. I think you should spend time with your family, and that's huge. And, you know, it's just so we're so busy throughout the year, so finding that special time to be with family is a big deal. So I don't think you ignore that. But I also don't think you ignore sending them to a time that they can also focus on Jesus. I think that's a crucial moment that maybe a lot of families skip. Well, I'm going to go on vacation, and so we're going to do that instead of camp. Well, now they may lose that opportunity to really get an experience that they really needed, and I think it's valuable as well.
Yeah, and I think they build on each other.
Yes.
Like, I have never heard someone say, hey, your family vacation is actually beneficial to your child's faith, and could or couldn't, because you can go on vacation and still not spend any time together. But at the same time, I've been in that same place, like, we're going to invest some money, we're going to do it on something fun here, we're not going to do a church camp or mission trip with that as well. I know for my family this year, we got away, actually could do a cruise together, and that nighttime in the formal dining room, all sitting down together, no phones because there's no reception in there, was absolutely beautiful. We spent an hour and a half at night just sitting there eating tons of food, but, you know, just sharing. But I think you're right, and especially as they're getting old, as our kids get older, as they got to make this faith their own as well.
Yeah, when you're talking, I was thinking too, you know, just as the youth pastor might be looking forward to creating better relationships during the summer at camp, well, now, mom and dad, you can do the same thing.
100, yeah.
You know, during the school year, you're event to event to event to ball game or whatever, and it's hard to slow down. But now you can have some intentional conversations and really spend those key moments.
Okay, so if your kid went out to camp, you could have spent anywhere from, if you got lucky and you went to camp, $150. I don't even know if you can do that now. Probably spending $300-$400 at camp, $300-$500 at SOAR, $1,000-$2,000 on a mission trip. Is this investment worth it?
Well, the short answer is yes. And maybe a longer answer would be start saving, you know, but for real, I just think yes, it's absolutely worth it. And you know, we spend money on things that's important to us. And I think if our faith is important to us, then this is definitely something worthwhile.
I think so. I know I can go back. I am so thankful my parents made an investment in me to go to the stuff. You know, and parents, it's worth it. And I've been there. I've been in those conversations as a youth pastor and a pastor. And parents are like, man, it's just, especially mission trip. I honestly don't think a child growing up in church or youth group should graduate, not be on a mission trip. What do you think?
I love that. And that's definitely something we try to do, you know, in our own student ministry. You know, and I think too, if you're so willing to maybe spend thousands of dollars on getting your kids to play baseball and softball year round, why can't we spend that on investing in their eternal relationship with Jesus?
Absolutely. And we're guys that are not against that. You know,
yeah,
I think both our kids are involved, and I see it as opportunity, great build relationships and all those things. So we're not coming from the camp like, don't do that, you know, only do the spiritual stuff. But at the same time, man, my daughter is playing trumpet. We're getting our private trumpet lessons. You know, we've done some private, you know, ball lessons, this type of stuff. Man, we should at least be trying to spend the same amount on their spiritual life as well.
Right.
Okay, so it's early, but you already mentioned about saving. What's some things maybe parents should be thinking about next summer?
Yeah, just be prepared, you know, and think about your calendar year. Maybe you don't plan too far ahead, but I know, like, for us at Antioch, I try to give our parents a year in advance, just so you know these things are coming up. So every August, the end of August, here's some things for the next year, and don't be surprised by that. And just be thinking through all that's going to cost. Don't let it sneak up on you.
And I want to throw out, when you make that decision for your student to go somewhere, plan a follow-up. So I heard one time in a conference, you're going to go to a conference, you're going to learn some stuff, but if you don't make a date with yourself to go back over this week or two out, that's, you're really not getting your full investment. I can't say I do that every time, but I try to do some of that. As a parent, we picked my daughter up from church camp and went straight to family vacation and, like, you know, washed clothes like at grandparents' house that halfway between where we're going. I wish we had just some more time to really focus in.
Yeah. I also thought about this too as you're talking. This past summer, I had a lot of students go on trips, BSN trips to even the trip we went to St. Louis. But we had students all over the Philippines, Costa Rica, Mexico, you know, several places. And every student got a chance. We went to my house and they all came and they got a chance to share. Every one of them said, I don't know if I can afford this, but God provided every single time. They're like, how can I afford $2,000? God provided it. And they were like, that was our first hang up. But I know that when we trust in Jesus, that if he's calling us to go, he's going to provide the way. And don't be lazy about it. But man, if you go out there and you try, you're going to be able to raise the money and it's not going to be an issue. So don't let money get in the way of allowing God to move in your life.
I love that. Yes, because I think one of the things is them seeing God provide speaks to them for the rest of their life. But kudos to you, giving them a platform to just share about their trip.
And yeah, it was awesome, man.
I can't imagine. I love that. Yeah. So if you've got a student that's going on mission trip, parents, man, invite some friends over. Invite grandparents over. Let them share with that. Beautiful. Jonathan, this was spontaneous. It wasn't as raw as it could be. He's a polished dude. He's a doctor for crying out loud, right? But thanks for having this raw conversation and bringing others in.
Thank you so much, Jake. I really appreciate it, too.
I'm excited about this episode. Parents, thank you for checking it out.
You've been listening to Stand Firm Parents. Stand Firm Parents is a production of Stand Firm Ministries in partnership with LifeWord Studios, created by Jake McCandless and Brandon Harrington of Dime Collective. Again, thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe, share, and most importantly, stand firm.